Let's kick off again today. We are talking about Christ, the final truth. And I want to start today from the book of Colossians chapter 2. Let's kick off from there, the book of Colossians chapter 2. We have been reading this book of Colossians since we began this series. From verse 1, it says, "For I want you," of course, this is continuing from chapter 1, in which he explained the fact that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and that we have been transferred into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, that Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he said that, we said something last time, which is also in that chapter 1, and the fact that he's the image of the invisible God. We said that there are different depths, different levels of manifestation of the person of God. And people have seen different levels of him. But Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except they come by him or through him. And we examined the last time that how can somebody say that when many people in the world are following God, it appears like in their own way, or before Jesus came, people were following God. Are you saying that no one could approach even when he wasn't around? And we say, yes, that's a matter of fact, that God used to reveal himself different ways. He would tell them that by this name, I did not reveal myself to your fathers. They knew me as maybe Elohim. They knew me as El Shaddai. But they did not know me as, depending on the pronunciation you want to use, the same thing. Some will say Yahweh, some will say Jehovah. All right? They did not know me by that name. That means a time came, I revealed myself in that particular fashion. And there are different aspects to God. But we said that the totality, the fullness of the Godhead is found only in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it's appropriate for Jesus to have said what he said. He wasn't being superfluous. He was not being... what do you call it now? Give me another word. He wasn't feeling too pious with himself when he said it. All right, I can't find the proper English word. To find a Nigerian word for it. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so but he was just stating the fact. And it's not actually an outrageous statement, because those who follow the knowledge of God, who try to pursue truth, they know this thing comes in levels. You understand my point? And they know that people have attained to different levels. So if he said that no one can do this, it's not totally out of order if you're into spiritual things. Because it only tells you simply that the levels that everybody went to before were inferior to the level that he's introducing. So we said that in him, the fullness of the Godhead, all right, dwells. And in that Christ Jesus, all right, through him, it pleased God the Father to reveal himself to us. Now, there's one statement I made last time, very, very crucial. I said all the struggles of mankind, they are trying to reach out to God. They are trying to attain to a particular level that they can get the knowledge of God, have a relationship with him. But that the difference between them and Jesus Christ is that Jesus is God coming down to have a relationship with mankind. Are you getting my point? And that is why you don't just... In fact, my message today is titled The Gift of God. The Gift of God. Now, we'll read some scriptures in a moment. All right? Many of which I referred to some of them last time. But the point is that this is what sin is now. Sin is not that you just committed something. Sin is that you rejected the gift of God. Now, you must understand God is not a human being. He's not a friend. He's not a relative. He's not somebody that if he offers you something and you don't like it, you leave it. Do you understand? With God, if he offers you something and you don't like it, it's actually iniquity. Now, sin is not that he's angry. Sin is a scientific fact. Yeah, yes, I mean that like that. Sin is a scientific fact. It's as if you are sick. You understand? You're almost dead. Okay, let us assume now you have not eaten for days, and then you are severely low in blood sugar, and I see you're about to die, and I give you glucose, all right? Take this this small cup of glucose solution, drink it, and you will live. And you say, I don't like to receive anything from you. Now, I'm not angry with you, all right? That's not the reason why you will die. You will die because you are going to die. But then, I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, but then what will be recorded as a cause of your death was that you rejected the offer that I made. They won't say you died because you are not eating for days. They won't say you died because your blood sugar was low. They'll say, why did he die? That guy was too proud. That's what they'll say. Why? Because the cure came. And that's how it is. When we talk about sin, sin is not as if God is angry. Sin is a scientific fact. That is, it's an issue of order. So if God says, do this, He's saying do this because that is the right thing to do. If you don't do it, it's not because he's trying to punish you. It's that you have exposed yourself to disorder. And that's why God, I first heard it from Ed Cole, God never gives advice. He always gives commandments. Even if it sounds like advice, it's commandment. If he says to you, make a choice, he always tells you what to choose. He said, I set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. He now says, choose life. He doesn't just leave you to okay, decide, what do you think? He will give you the options, and I'll tell you the option that is godly. So if you don't choose life, you defaultly choose death because you are disobeying. And disobedience is not like I said earlier, Isaac is angry. How can I tell you something? And you don't listen to me. That's the problem. You don't listen to me. You don't love me. When I'm telling you something, you won't listen. God is not your wife, amen? Did you hear what I said? God is not is nobody's wife. If he tells you, put your foot here. Once you don't put your foot there, you've lost in life. Even if it doesn't give you any explanation. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I want to just explain the issue of the gift of God, to introduce you with that. Alright? So that when God gives a gift, that is why it is a sin to reject his gift. The sin is not his anger, it is that you have exposed yourself. You have denied the solution to all of the, that is, to all of your problems. You have denied it. That's why he said that God, when Jesus was speaking, he said, he did not, how did he go again? That he does not, okay, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. He who does not believe is what? I didn't hear you well. Okay. Open your Bible, speak. Let's quickly read it. Let's all know what we're talking about. It's there. We're not imagining it. Those who are saying condemned already. They are already from the scriptures. The book of John chapter 3. All right, let's start from verse 16. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is New American Standard, that version I'm reading. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. I like King James' expression there. He said, is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. Now let me just stop this. Let's save time. Why did I read this? You see it. So when God gives you something, if you reject it, it is not just that you are annoying him, it is that you have denied the solution to your problems. That's what it is. That is what it is. So we said that sin these days is that God gives us a gift and we reject it. And Jesus is the gift of God. Now, let's read this, what I said we should read, then I will continue what I'm saying. Please bear that in mind. That's what we have been explaining. That men struggle to try and reach God. But God said, no, let me come down to you. And then when he came, the Bible says he came unto his own. His own did not receive. Let's read that one also. It will help us. John chapter 1. Let's just get all these facts clear. The Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. He said, now talking about John, that John was not the true light, but if you go down to verse 9, he continued talking about the Word. He said, there was the true light, which come into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Now notice this, he came to his own, that is the nation of Israel. And those who were his own did not receive him. But as many, don't forget, God chose the nation of Israel. He said that you I have chosen, all right, of all the nations of this earth. He said, therefore I will punish you for your iniquities. God was speaking to them. So that nation was chosen by God. That's why he called them his own. He said he came to his own, And those who were his own did not receive him. Now notice that they rejected the gift of God. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And this is a consequence. He says, verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, there's a reason I'm emphasizing this. The fact that sin is that God comes to you with his gift, and that's Jesus Christ, and you reject him. When you do that, you continue your iniquity, and eventually you enter into, in fact, he says you are judged already for rejecting the Son of God. Why is God so emphatic about that? And that is because, it's simply because that is the solution to all the problems of mankind. That's it. Everything is summarized in Jesus. Many of the things, and that's what this my message series is about. I've talked about Christ here and there. In each of the messages, I lay different emphasis. This one, my emphasis what I'm trying to do is to lay this emphasis on the fact that your struggles have come to an end. Are you getting my point? Yeah, this was what ignited it. I see Christians all the time struggling to reach God. I see them all the time struggling to please God. And now, you see, it's good to walk in a manner of pleasing to him, all right? But that's not what we're talking about. We are seeing people doing things because they want God to approve them. I see them going through a lot of struggles. Struggles. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You see, somebody's going to walk the whole day. He said, I must go to church. And it's good to go to church. Listen, church is good, amen? Church is very good, amen? You know, David said that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a good thing. But you see somebody, why is he doing it? It is because he said, if I don't do this, the breakthrough I'm looking for will not come. They say, okay, let us go for evangelism. He said, hey, this one, I've been waiting on God for this particular thing for 2 years. If I miss this evangelism, that may be the end of my breakthrough. Do you understand my point? And you see people say things, they walk in a manner that you realize that this person is trying to gain God's approval. And I feel bad because it does not work. People want to pray to God to get something from him, and they declare a fast. And what do they mean by a fast? We must suffer. We must put some pain. Are you getting my point? On our bodies. So as to show God that we are serious. So as to show God that, we deserve this thing. We do all of those things because we want to get an answer. So he said, this thing you want to do now, listen, you will pray. And the prayer is good. You first declare a fast. And when you're declaring the fast, what's the guy trying to achieve? Say, okay, it's going to be a 7 days fast. We'll fast for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, we now pray. That thing is so unchristian, I don't believe people do it. But they do. But they don't realize it's totally unchristian. It's not a Christian principle at all. For you to be able to number the number of the days of the fast, before you ask God for something, you must be a Muslim. Or you're a Hindu. You definitely are not walking in the laws of Christianity. You say, how should I pray? The moment the matter comes up, what is wrong with opening your mouth right there and then? I can imagine my son coming to me. He needs something in school. And he said, Daddy, we need to talk. So we'll see at the end of the week. Why at the end of the week? I need to get everything ready. And the rest, on Monday, he goes to the gym. On Tuesday, he sweeps the compound. On Wednesday, he washes my car. On Friday, he irons all my clothes. That on Thursday, on Friday, he cleans the whole house, does everything. And then he comes there. Yes, it's the end of the week. I said, what is it? I need to let you know something. There's a special textbook we need in school. And it's expensive. I've waited this whole week to let you know that it's a serious matter. I will conduct a deliverance session right there and there for the Satan that's trying to possess people in my home. It's not to tap on the door. That they cannot come and say, come right in. Please, there's an issue. What's the issue? I need this particular book in school. It's very important. I heard it's a bit expensive, but how far? You can afford it now. Do you understand my point? Yeah. And he says it. Why does he ask like that? Will I say to him, what have you done for me that I should do this for you? If you ever hear anybody preach that doctrine to you, please. The fellow may not be a bad person. He doesn't know the truth. He just lied to you. That God will look at you and say, what did you do for me that I should do this for you? God never does that to Christians. There are things I hammer on all the time. There are statements that are popular in Christianity. They sound nice, a cliche. You know, just say it. Nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. It's not true. Something left God's hands while you were still dead in your sins and your trespasses and your iniquities and your disobedience. When something left his hand and it came into your life. And it says, if you want it, receive it by faith. That's what I'm trying to do in all of these teachings, than when I began. I've been explaining the fact that people struggle to try and gain entrance into God's presence. But Jesus said, you want to gain entrance into God's presence, you come through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to come into God's presence, just make sure you come through me. That's all he's saying. There is no other way. You know, there are things you say once, you say twice, you'll be amazed that people are not hearing you. And sometimes they hear you, then they go home. Then they hear the opposite. So you have to say it again. Just because you love people, you want to tell them the truth, you want them to be liberated. You want the word of God to affect them. That's why you keep saying these things. When you receive from God, it is never, let me say it again, it is never, one more time, it is never, please, what did I say? Never. It is never, ever, because you did something for him. Never. Never. Never, 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 ever, never, because you did something for him. I've said to you before, I'm going to say, when you are going to heaven, you will carry all the souls you want. Listen, narrow is the road that leads to heaven. Can only take one person. All the souls you want, they will go and win their own. Okay, if you carry them, then they want some people. They you come with the network. Are you in Forever Living Products? Network of soul winners. Or is it Life Plus, GNLD? That is in rich heaven. You know, they do network marketing for them. Naked and alone, you came into this world. You are going back. You are going back totally naked, totally alone. And like I told you before, nobody even counts the souls you won. You know why? You didn't win the souls. You can't win the souls. You don't have the ability. Paul planted. Apollos watered. God won the souls. That's what the Bible says. Each one is rewarded according to his labor, not according to the souls. If you obey the word of God, God knows how he handles it. But you don't walk on this, see all the souls. Because if that's the case, you will have better reward than Isaiah. Isaiah talk. Nobody believed. Jeremiah shout, scream the whole world down. Maybe apart from his secretary, Sarai, nobody has listened to him. So they even turned him to an entertainer. Was it him or Ezekiel that they used to say? Yeah, Ezekiel. When Ezekiel wants to preach, the whole church will gather. His people dress up. Where are you going? We're going for the opera. Who's the musician? Ezekiel. I said, Thus says the Lord. I said, did you see the way he pronounced the thus? Oh, Kabayaga. That guy, he can preach. So everybody's excited. At the end of the day, nobody believed him. They leave the place, they go and do exactly what they planned to do. I hope you are getting my point. Please, I'm saying all of this, something in all of these things. That listen, you don't get anything from God because of what you did so as to deserve it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why Jesus said, when you ask in my name. In my name means that is the basis of your answers. In my name means that the reason why God listens is because of the name you mentioned. That's the way it is. And that's what I'm trying to drum into the hearts of people again, because in today's Christianity, the opposite is everywhere. We take the laws of the Old Testament and some that were before the Old Testament, and because they are before the Old Testament, we don't argue that this one is not under the law. I say, so is animal sacrifices. He said, this one began before the law. I said, so were they sacrificing animals before the law. I've heard people say that they were unclean animals and clean animals before the law. That is true, because Noah was asked to choose 7 of clean animals and then pairs of unclean ones. That means that those things existed before the law. But I want to emphasize again, it is not the law. The law is not what makes things different for Christians. There are two ages. It is before Christ and then the latter days. That's how it is. That is, those the days and the, what they call it, former times, which is before Christ, and then latter days, which is after the coming of Christ. After the coming of Christ, that is what matters. When some people want to argue on this issue of tithing and all of that, they say that it was before the law. So what? Go to the book of Malachi. Malachi said this, go and check, read Malachi entirely. Stop dissecting Malachi. Go and read it well. Malachi complained about the kind of animal sacrifices they were bringing. Listen, that's what I'm trying to do of these things. And then they explain to Christians what it means to be a Christian, not a churchian. There's a world of difference, all right, between being a religious person and being a Christian. A Christian means your identity is in Christ. It doesn't mean you are good. Now, I'm not saying you are bad. I don't say, Pastor Pang, he said it doesn't matter. There are churches that preach that. So if I sin, it's not me that's sinning. It's my body. I'm a spirit. Only. Only want to indulge the flesh. He said, no, it's not. Meanwhile, the one enjoying this iniquity. When you take his money, he won't remember that the money belongs to his body. Please, I'm not saying that it should be a jaguda. What's a jaguda? A criminal, a crook. And that's it, doesn't matter. We'll come to that one, maybe not today, subsequent times. What defines you as a Christian is not your moral uprightness, because there are many, many morally upright societies as a standard now. There are many people that are morally upright, but they are not Christians. And Christianity is not that, look, I don't hurt my neighbor. That's not what Christianity is. Many people who didn't hurt their neighbor will die and go to hellfire. He said, why? Because rejecting the gift of God is what sin is. He said, but I didn't do anything to deserve it. He said, God, it's no problem. But you also did not do anything to enter into my heaven, right? So go anywhere you like. Maybe so. Like I say all the time, God sets his standards. There's a sermon I wrote some time ago. I'm surprised. I thought I released it, but I just found recently that I have not released the sermon. I called it The Good, The Righteous, and The Believing. And I explained in that sermon that God makes the rules. You can't decide the rules for him. You can't. If he has made his rules, no matter how nice you think something is, if it's not in accordance with his rule, it is bad. And the rule of God is, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's what it is. The reason why God accepts you is that you are in Christ. It is not because you have done something good. We need to emphasize this. I am persuaded one of the major reasons why Christians are not blessed today is because they are too good. I don't know whether I caught that. They have this sense of, I'm good, I deserve it, I should get it, I'm better than him, I'm better than her. I've not done the bad things that she has done. I've not done the bad thing that he has done. I am good. It's there at the bottom of their hearts. They go to prayer with that attitude. They feel like, God, let's talk. This prosperity thing is in the bag. I don't know if I get it. Yeah, it's in the bag. Because of the last 7 years, my first fruits, which God never asked for, is your church that's collecting it. You know, I've been telling you. No, if you want to give it, you like it. It's not bad. If you bring me, say, Pastor, this is my first fruit. If you just come now, you know, you are a rich man, God has blessed you. You buy me a Browning Ford Explorer. Say, Pastor, God said, as a first fruit, I should give this to you. I will collect it and thank you and bless you for the offering. You won't see me use the word first fruit. I'm very, very smart. But that can't let it go. Once you're not a thief, I will collect it. I will bless you. You'll be waiting for me to say first fruit. I won't say it to you. Say, oh God, it's my first fruit. I said, whether it's third or fourth, sure it works. What difference does it make? It's an offering, it's a gift. Amen? Uh-huh. No, so if you want to do it, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it too. But let's just get it clear. Just by the way, for those who are asking, people are always asking, so let's help people. Even if you insist that in your life you must do first fruit. God didn't say first fruit is your whole month's salary. Now, just to help people, for those who are interested, all right? Let's just, you know, people ask you those kind of questions. I don't like to discuss many things, but I just help people, amen? What do you think? We should do it, eh?
Yes,
sir. The principle, for those, this is just by the way, I'll get back to my message. The way it was commanded, all right, under the law, all right, under the old covenant, the way it was practiced, I want to just understand. It's a spiritual law. I need to just say this quickly. It's a spiritual principle, which you find it was practiced in Africa even before the missionaries came. It was. If you, New Yam Festival, it was their first harvest, what they call harvest, it's first fruit. That's what it is. So the people took usually one tuber of yam to the shrine as a way of saying thank you to the gods. So that would tell you that it's a spiritual principle. It's everywhere. Okay? And remember what I said earlier. We're not dealing whether it's under the law or not under the law. We are talking about in Christ or outside Christ. So as a matter of Christ thing, it's Christ himself is the first fruit because he's God. You know, after he rose up from the dead, everybody that believes in him is holy. So the principle is a Christ principle. That's what I want you to understand. So that was a type of Christ. But let's look at the practice for a moment. The way it was practiced is simple. Before the farmer begins to harvest, even in Africa, he took the very first tuber of yam, that first one that comes out, he takes it to the shrine. That's just it. All right? In the same manner, if it was a Jew, it went to his farm. Once they start harvesting, he takes the best, first part of the harvest, the best, you know, he goes there, takes, and I've read, you know, because these questions come up all the time in Christianity. So as a teacher of the word, you have to instruct people. So I took time out to do my studies. And I read different commentaries, different Bible dictionaries explaining it. The quantity was left absolutely to the discretion of the giver. Usually, it was one basket. Your basket could be big or small, but it was one basket. So you are going to harvest 1,000 acres. Once you start, the first basket is what you take in. What it means is I just take some things, put it in a basket, and go and offer it. And the statements you make is more important self than the thing itself. You say, my father, like for the Jews, my father was a wandering Aramean, and then this happened, and that happened, and then God brought us out, and this one, to his promised land, I have brought, that is that recitation, the things you are reciting, as a way of giving God the glory. That was the most important thing about it. This one, I will tell you that it's your whole 5 months salary. Let me just say something to you. Let's get it to give to ourselves clearly. It's not true. It's not true. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, because if you're an American, it'll be first week salary. Americans end weekly. So if you're a businessman, because you did do your profit taking quarterly, so it becomes your whole first quarter earning. No, now. But if you can do what you like with your money, if you know it's your money. You know it's not my money. It's as you like it. If you wake up and say your first fruit is a whole year, that's your problem, not mine. But I'm a Bible teacher. I'm giving you the words, the scriptures, so that if you want to practice some things, you understand. Don't fall under condemnation. That's my only battle of these things. Is this condemnation people come under? People become working accountants. Yeah. Because they want to pay a tithe. And they think, now this is what irritates my soul. The fellow feels he's a good Christian because of that. Your Christianity has nothing to do with your tithing. Tithing is the way you like it. It's not Christianity. Are you getting my point? You can do it. Oh, did I say you shouldn't do it? You can wake up in the morning and decide that, look, anything God blesses me with, I want to use it to serve the poor. Yes, I'm serious. You can do anything you like. A brother called me once. He asked me an honest question. He said, what am I supposed to do with my money? I said, what you like. Do it the way you like it. And you must understand why we're making statements. We're talking to Christians. When I say what you like, I didn't say, go and get 3 girlfriends all over town and be, you know, servicing them with your money. Did I say that? If you are like that, you're obviously not a Christian at all. So when I say what you like, you must understand what I'm trying to say. What I'm telling the fellow is that, decide, you know, you've read the scriptures, you've studied the word of God, you know what money is about, God has given you a quantity of it. You know all the problems in life. I mean, you're talking to me, I'm a preacher, I run a ministry. You know, some people don't know that you pay to be on air. An average Christian still thinks television broadcast is free. Unless he's been watching a lot and seeing the people begging.